Welcome to the PowerPress Podcast. My name is Mackenzie and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Thanks for listening. On this episode, we have Mike Dell from the Blueberry team with us.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
So far, so good, as I say all the time.
Good. Thanks for joining me today. We had a podcaster drop out. So Mike has graciously decided to fill in for me.
Yeah, I'm second string around here.
I'm sorry. Well, that's just kind of the way the cookie crumbles some days.
That works for me.
You're always a very good guest, though.
Long as I'm on the list, I'm a happy guy.
You are on the list. No, you're always a very good guest, though.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay, so today we have our news and we have some fun information for PowerPress, and we'll see if I get in a podcast chronicle as well. I haven't really thought about it, so maybe I'll get one in, maybe I won't.
All right, sounds good.
So our first news clip is, well, the title is called Podcasting is Not the New Black. And you shared this with me a couple days ago, I think.
Yeah, it's by John Birmingham over at Witch 50. Now say that 20 times in a row.
What is Witch 50?
I'm not sure, but it looks like a nice blog, and he's talking about podcasting, you know, as being in vogue, and you know, a lot of people are saying it's the golden age of podcasting and all that, and you know, those of us that have been around podcasting for any length of time know that. No, it's not new. Serial didn't invent it. Apple didn't invent it. I was podcasting prior to Apple. But it's a very good article. He talks about, you know, Apple inviting, quote-unquote, the leading podcast professionals to some private meeting. Which
was supposed to stay private,
by the way.
Of course, and then New York Times kind of blew that out the water.
Right. And, you know, the whole thing is basically that podcasting is not new. It's not hockey stick growing right now. It's growing at its normal steady rate. And, you know, of course, Serial did help a year and a half ago or whatever. And, you know, some of that, you know, and the awareness of podcasting, of course, is getting better. But, it's been on a slow growth ever since 2005. The only time it ever did, you know, the hockey stick growth was right after iTunes enabled podcasting back in 2005.
Who was podcasting before that happened, though?
Well, there was quite a few of us. I was. Our CEO, Todd, was. Some of our other friends and acquaintances out there were, Mignon Fogarty. Mm-hmm. I think she started prior to Apple getting into it. Adam Curry, of course, had one of the first podcasts out there. Not the first, but one of the first, the Daily Source Code. And we were plugging along pretty good, you know, in 2004 and the first bit of 2005. And then, you know, of course, Apple introduced iTunes, was it 4 point something, that had podcasts in it. And the whole reason for that was they hadn't made all the record deals yet with all the record labels for music in iTunes. So they had to put some content in there. And what a better thing to do than to throw a bunch of indie podcasters in there.
So I can't really tell the difference or the growth. But in my head, I have seen growth. Not only since I got here to Blueberry in the past year, but while I was in college.
Oh, yeah. And it's been growing steadily, but it's not, you know, it's not like all of a sudden we were just languishing in obscurity for years and years and years, like some other articles I've read say. And this is what, you know, this guy was pointing out in his article that, you know, it's been growing pretty well the whole time. It's just, it didn't get a lot of publicity until Serial. And, you know, now it's, you know, everybody's pet project, and that's great. You know, it's great to see, you know, the more the merrier, but, you know, you gotta remember, it's not something that just happened. You know, like I was saying, Serial did not invent podcasting.
I think what has just happened is companies getting involved.
Yeah.
Before now, it was just independent podcasters.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there were some companies getting involved in it, and NPR has always been, you know, they were one of the first podcasters, you know, fairly soon after iTunes, you know, added podcasting to iTunes, or Apple, you know, added it to iTunes. Then NPR jumped in there, and they've been very popular ever since. And, you know, This American Life and you know, the people behind Serial, you know, have been podcasting probably 10 plus years themselves. So, you know, it's not totally new that companies in public radio got into it, but it is new that so many more of them are now getting into it.
That's the thing. Companies that are not involved in public radio are starting podcasts, though.
Yeah, and then there's some public radio hosts that have started their own companies, you know, kind of like Panoply and Gimlet Media.
See a lot of podcast companies coming from radio.
Right, and, you know, and that's not bad for the space, but, you know, the indie podcasters have always been here, and they're going to stay.
That's true. It's just a matter of how many people knew about them beforehand. Because exactly. The awareness is going up.
Yeah, the publicity is great. And I think you have another segment here about that as well coming up. But yeah, it's great that they're getting into it, but, you know, people have to realize that it isn't something that just started or just got popular. You know, it is getting more popular to the average person, which is great. And, you know, we were even on Jeopardy. There was a topic on Jeopardy nights ago, and that was great. Our you know, friend of the show, Mignon Fogarty, was one of the clues, you know, along with, so that was great. You know, Grammar Girl, go check her out.
I don't think people are ever going to know that podcasting was a thing before these past 4 or 5 years. The amount of people that know about this now compared to before. No one's going to care that it's been around for 10 years. They're just going to care that it's around now and that these big companies that they know about are involved.
Yeah.
They're not going to give any sort of credit whatsoever to independent podcasters like you guys. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, probably not. But then again, you know, who cares? As long as we get listeners and all that, you know, I don't care where the listeners come from, and I frankly don't care how they listen. As long as they listen.
Yeah, I was reading something else today. I think I saw on Twitter that Paul Culligan, or Culligan, however you pronounce his name.
Yeah, Paul Culligan.
Yeah, he posted an episode saying that, you know, your stats are great and everything, but you need to be paying attention more to your show than the stats numbers, because you know the stats numbers, and that's the person that cares about them the most, as opposed to other people.
Yeah, stats are great, you know, for a lot of reasons. You know, there's nothing better than to go open your stats and see that you got 100 new listeners that you didn't have last episode. But on the other hand, don't obsess about them. You know, Paul's right in that respect. You know, don't obsess about your numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about your audience. It's about people.
To these new companies, it is about numbers.
Well, totally. For them, it's totally about numbers.
Definitely is.
But, you know, for the average podcaster, somebody that's going to be listening to us.
Yeah.
You know, the average podcaster, you know, the numbers, yeah, it's cool. It's a goal, but it's not the end. You know, I always tell people on my podcast, you know, make content that you would want to listen to and get to know your audience. Get to know, you know, if you can name 10 people in your audience, you know, and, you know, learn about 10 people, you know, every month or so, you know, meet more people, interact with them, you know, try to get them involved, because it's more about them than it is about the pure numbers. You know, if I had, you know, 10 listeners to my show and they were all interacting with me and getting something out of what I'm doing, I'm going to be a whole lot more motivated to do my show than I have. And then if I had 100,000 and I didn't hear from anybody,
that's very true.
You know? And yeah, you know, the big companies, they make their money on advertising, which is most of the time sold by, you know, how many thousands of people listen. Mm-hmm. And that's important. You know, if they're, you know, they're making money on this, you know, yeah, they got to know their numbers. And it is about numbers. But for the average person, you know, I'm trying to think, there was one guy I know that never looks at his stats. And when an advertiser approaches him, and people do, he doesn't mention anything about stats. He says, well, here's how much it costs to sponsor the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't work off of, you know, cost per thousand CPM like a lot of podcasters do. And he's doing just fine. He's, you know, talking about horses. Mm-hmm. and making a living from it. And he has no idea what his stats are. He doesn't even bother looking at them because it's not important. He has very, you know, engaged audience. His advertisers know that he has an engaged audience, and they're happy with that.
Like, I want to know what kind of companies will be willing to just take it or leave it without knowing those numbers.
Well, you know, you got to build a relationship with your advertiser as well, you know, if you're doing it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, and in small niches, which is what the independent podcasters usually go for. I mean, I could advertise, what's the popular ones that are advertising right now? Squarespace or
Audible
or whatever. I can advertise that, but I'm not going to make anything.
No.
You know, because my audience in Squarespace and Audible are not necessarily good targets. And, you know, and I don't have the massive thousands and thousands of downloads that these big outfits that are more general. That's the other thing. The companies out there, you know, such as Podcast One and Gimlet and, you know, the NPR, WNYC, you know, all those, they're going for a more general audience. You know, I'm going for, you know, in my particular case, I'm going for people that want to learn about podcasting. You know, right. Just the same target that this show is about.
Right.
And, you know, they're not going to be interested in Squarespace, especially if they listen to me, because I particularly tell them to avoid that.
I know. I'm looking forward to the day when WordPress is offering up people a 30-second soundbite for an advertisement. Well, use, you know, WordPress.
It's open source. It's not going to happen, but... Hey, we've got a product coming that may help with that, but hey, you know.
I know. I mean, he ends this article with saying that, you know, if the day ever comes that advertising is as popular on podcasts as it is TV, it's going to be very different than what it is now. Because yeah. The only way it's going to get to be that big is if it changes.
Right. But, you know, what he's talking about is right now, okay, you get the big national advertisers on networks on TV. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not going to get that on your local newscast from your local NBC station, you know. Say.
No, but it's like the kind local of car dealership.
Yeah, exactly.
Will only, you know, broadcast out to the local station in that area.
Right, and the same thing's going to happen with podcasting. Is the niche advertisers that are going after your small market of whatever your podcast is about are going to approach you. So you're going to be like the local news versus the national news.
Yeah, I've had some people come to me before, like our advertisers, come and say that, you know, we have to focus on like Washington, D.C. or something like that. And I'm like, that's kind of impossible to do.
Yeah, well, there are some.
We can try to look for shows that focus on the East Coast and possibly politics and maybe even specifically Washington, D.C. But that's not really how podcasting works a lot of the time, I feel like.
No, you know, it just depends. There are local podcasts out there and, you know, the local podcasts would pick up local advertisers. I did a local podcast for a short time about my area here in Michigan, and I had an advertiser before I put up my first episode.
Mm-hmm.
But it was local. It was for a local restaurant.
See, yeah, that's the thing. And these are companies that are coming, trying to get on 30 different shows. And I'm telling them, you know, you're not going to find 30 shows that all focus on Washington, D.C.
Yeah, probably
not. You're going to find shows that people in D.C. will be interested in, but they're not going to be, you know, that it's way too specific for us to market to that. To something that niche a lot of the time.
Right.
If you want to go and spend the money for multiple shows.
Right. And the big advertisers are going to leave the little shows alone, and the mm-hmm. little advertisers will maybe go for the little shows, and, right. and they should.
Right.
Because, you know, there's nobody more engaged than a podcast, you know, an avid podcast listener, is, you know, as I like to call them, super fans. And, you know, I have a few of those. And when I suggest something to them, you know, they're going to listen to me more than they would listen to, you know, Lester Holt on the NBC Nightly News, you know, they're, you know, because they don't know him. They know me.
Like, as honest as that is, and that, and how realistic that is, I also don't listen to the advertisements on podcasts.
Yeah, you know, it depends on which ones. I mean, if you've heard an Audible ad, you've heard an Audible ad.
Exactly.
But, you know, and I would say anybody that listens to a lot of podcasts probably hears an Audible ad a lot. But mm-hmm. Audible's still in your mind.
It is.
And there's nothing wrong with Audible, in, you know, in particular. But, yeah, that's different, though, because they usually stick to the larger shows as well. So, you know, if they're getting a podcast that, say, has 50,000 downloads per episode, you know, if they sell two or three, you know, four or whatever subscriptions to Audible, that's worth it to them. You know, they're not going to advertise on my little show because I probably get a subscription for them about twice a year.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
And, you know, that makes sense.
It does. I've been interested in buying something based off of a podcast advertisement. I've just never actually done it.
Yeah, I, you know, in the past, you know, I'm talking into a PR40 microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that I have this microphone is because a podcaster that I used to listen to got one and I couldn't stop talking about it.
See, that also makes me think about this and how I am 24 years old and have been listening to podcasts for years or whatever. And up until about this time, I have had $10 to spend on stuff other than living. So that might be part of the reason why I never actually bought anything from a podcast advertisement.
Sure. You know, and I've signed up for Audible and I've, you know, bought a few things that way, you know, for listening to podcasts, but
right.
It's just,
I will say I signed up for Audible based on, I got an advertisement for a free month in the podcast movement swag bag and I got my free book and then I canceled it.
Right.
I like this article. I do not like the title at all because it does not make sense. But,
well, you know, headline writing is an art.
Yeah, it can be. It's just, you don't say like a word is not the new black. You have to pick a color. You have to pick a color. Podcasting is not new. That is my sum up of that article.
Exactly. We've been here a while.
Yes. I guess the next thing to talk about is either my podcast chronicle or PowerPress.
Oh, well, and it's your show.
I guess for my podcast chronicle, I don't know. I guess my problem is I want to schedule multiple people for like 2 months out, and I don't really know what to do about that.
Yeah, scheduling people, you know, that's hard to do. You know, doing, you know, just me doing tech support, you know, trying to get, you know, just me and somebody else to have time at the same time
mm-hmm.
is difficult. And, you know, it's just something you have to, you know, you have to work with them and, you know, and remind them. That's the other thing, you know, where, you know, what I do as far as, you know, setting up tech support calls is usually they're motivated to talk to me because
right, they have an issue. They want to talk to you now.
But you know, I've had that problem with scheduling an interview. I have a friend who's a semi-famous comedian who promised me he'd come on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been talking about interviewing him for a month now. We haven't been able to get our schedules straight yet.
Right.
And, you know, so that's a common problem with a lot of podcasters that want to do a lot of interviews is getting people to come on and getting people that'll come on and actually show up.
I guess when I think about it that way, Like, this is part of my work day the majority of the time, as opposed to other people, and it is not.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the people you want to interview are working the same time you are.
They are.
So you have that problem.
They do work at the same time because they're just an independent podcaster.
Yeah, and we decided to hang around late tonight to record this. So
I know. I really do kind of prefer it that way, though.
Yeah. It's less hassle than trying to deal with all the daily stuff and make time.
Exactly. And there's kind of just less commotion a lot of the time.
Right. See, I don't have that problem. My office is all by itself.
I know.
I'm 400 miles away from the office. I love it.
It is 400 miles away from the Columbus office. I guess that's my issue. That's my podcasting chronicle.
Yeah, and then you know, I'll work with you. We'll see if we can round up some guests and all that. And I've got a few ideas for you. I'll tell you offline here.
All right, thank you. Let's move on to PowerPress.
All right.
So there are some of you out there that have been using the PowerPress 7.0, right?
7.0 beta 4 is the current.
Right. And I don't know how long that's been a beta. I think a couple of weeks now, but we are getting very close to releasing PowerPress 7.0 for everyone.
Yes. And, it's working well. You're hearing this through the result of PowerPress 7.
Yes, you are.
And you know, it adds quite a few more features that didn't have in the past. And things are going to change a little bit on the back end too. So don't freak out too much when you upgrade and things aren't exactly where they were to begin with. But it's not too bad.
Right. Everything is still there as far as I could tell. It's just...
Yeah, it's just organized just a little bit better, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you want me to get into the geeky details?
Why not? This is called the PowerPress Podcast.
That makes sense. Well, the Media Appearance tab, if you're in advanced mode, has changed names and will be called Website because it deals with how your podcast shows up on your website. So
that seems pretty.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if
pretty good.
If you're used to going to the Media Appearance tab to change things, that name has changed to Website. And we took out some of the options in some of the other tabs and condensed them into a new tab called Destinations. And what Destinations is where you put all the links to different directories like iTunes, Google Play, and we've added Stitcher, and we've added, well, Google Play and Stitcher buttons to the links. And it also has a place there to put your blueberry directory listing, which is very important. That's the other thing about people that are using PowerPress and are hosting sometimes forget to come back and put their PowerPress feed address in the settings at Blueberry.
Right. When you were helping me set up the beta on the PowerPress Podcast website, you told me about that, and I realized I had no idea that you had to do that at all.
Yeah, and that's something where, you know, with Destinations there, I believe it says right there for the Blueberry listing address that you need to come back and update that at blueberry.com in the podcaster dashboard. And what that does is that populates your directory listing. See, what happens is just because you're using us for hosting, our hosting is completely and utterly separate from the directory.
See that, like I work here and I forgot about that fact.
Yeah. Well, you know, we try to keep it separate because different servers do different things and you don't want to load up, you know, the same server with two different high volume stuff. So we got to kind of keep it separate. And, you know, there are people that don't want a Blueberry listing, but just want to host their files. So they have that option, but we would encourage you to have a Blueberry listing because, you know, another point of presence. And
yeah, why not?
You know, we are the largest independent podcast directory out there.
I think we're the largest directory in general, regardless of independent or not.
Yeah, it could be. I think we're, over 300,000 right now shows on the
directory. Last I checked, it was about 314,000.
Right. And, you know, so yeah, I think iTunes was still under 300,000.
Right.
Something like that. And Google Play is way less than that. And
Google Play, I don't know what it's doing, but it's not anywhere near that number.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of, it's new for one thing, and it's, things work a little differently over there. So, you know, people haven't gravitated to it yet.
I'm going to be honest. I don't like it, but that's just me.
Right. You know, but you know, for some people, that's probably their first introduction to podcasting. They have an Android phone and they look at it and they hit the music tab and they, oh, wow, what's this podcasting thing?
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, people do discover podcasting that way. You know, I'm sure there was a ton that, that found it in iTunes for the first time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, don't expect Google Play to be as big as iTunes anytime soon.
No, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, or it may never happen. You know, that's
also that.
Right. But getting back to PowerPress 7, we got off on a tangent there.
Whoops.
But, you know, things moved around a little bit. Also available is the new PowerPress Player, which will be mm-hmm. a player option in PowerPress 7 for our hosting customers only.
Right.
You know, but it's a very nice player. It's unbranded, so it doesn't have our logo on it. It has your logo on it, and or your album art, to be exact.
Yeah, that's more so what it is.
And, you know, that's certainly the way it should be. You know, when people come to your website, they should be at your website. And, you know, that's what we do. You know, with PowerPress, we want to stay out of the way. We want to make it easy for you to podcast from your own site and promote your own brand.
We are big fans of that. That's pretty much all we want you to do with your podcast.
You know, say nice things about us if you want, but you know, it's not it's not a requirement.
Right. I'm the affiliate coordinator. I certainly want you to say nice things about us. However, that's not what we are trying to do in general.
But yeah, PowerPress 7, like I said, I've been running it since beta 1 on my site, and mm-hmm. it's working good. We had a little few bugs at the beginning, but that's what the whole beta process is about. And I definitely want to thank the 100 or so beta testers out there, if you're listening.
Yes, Angelo informed us that there are about 100 of you out there testing for us, and we very much appreciate it. I mean, without that, we wouldn't be kind of...
Right.
And doing this all on our own.
Yep. And if you'd like to be a beta tester, just email support@blueberry.com and let me know.
Yep.
That that you want to be on the beta list. So next time we beta something, we can send you an invite to check it out.
You know, this was the first time that I was really like paying attention or involved whatsoever in a beta test. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the first couple of times Todd and I were beta one, mm-hmm. and we ran into a rather large problem, but it's you know, no big deal to back out and go back to the regular one and say fix this.
But that's why we do beta testing.
Yeah, you know, if you don't break something, you don't learn anything, So it's all pretty stable. It's all stable. The pretty much beta 4 was the release candidate. And said I've been running it since probably Saturday and haven't found any bugs yet.
Yeah, so you've had it for about a half a week or so. And right now everything is stable. It's most likely going to stay that way. And we're going to get it out in the next, hopefully, like, within the next week. And when it does get out, we will update the show notes for this episode.
Yes.
Saying definitely. When it was released.
Right. And like I said, it should be the next few days or week at the most.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somebody finds something else.
Yeah. I'm excited about the destinations tab though.
Yeah. And you know, what's nice about that is it's all in one place. Before you had to, you know, put your iTunes subscribe link in the iTunes tab and your Google Play link in the Google Play tab. And then this, you know, in the beta, the first beta, this, you know, Stitcher link was in the feeds tab. And, you know, so it was, everything was kind of scattered. And now it's all condensed into one nice tab. And then we can always add stuff to it later.
And see, that's for someone like me who, you know, podcasting is not exactly their first language. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
the less time I spend searching, the more likely I am to continue with something, which is, you know, obviously what we're trying to do with PowerPress. We want you to use this because of how simple it is, how great it is for your website, and because you can just use it and not have to worry about it.
Right. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, we want to be the easy button for podcasting, as Todd always says. And we're getting there.
The easy button keeps people around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's same thing with, you know, with the tech support. You know, if they run into problems, we've got support that'll get you going and, you know, keep you going on it. Because, you know, if somebody gets discouraged with the tech, they're not going to keep going.
Right.
And that's not good for, you know, the customer. That's not good for the podcast companies. It's not good for anybody if people, you know, do three shows and quit because the tech is getting in the way.
Right. That's probably what I would do. Yeah. Honestly, it is. If I didn't have, you know, I didn't like work with you guys and have, you know, all these resources available to make it simple, I would have just, no, it would not happen.
Right. And you know, tell me this, it's getting easier.
Yes.
For you now that you've been around it and you're starting to feel comfortable with it. Whereas, you know, the first few times it was probably intimidating.
Right. It's not the, you know, talking into a microphone or talking about like having a conversation with anyone. It's, I don't know if things are going correctly in terms of the tech. Yeah. And that is just not fun to deal with on a regular basis. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And speaking of sticking to it, I know this was on our subject, but sounds like a good place to talk about it is putting your podcast on vacation.
Yes.
We had a blog post about that, I believe last Friday at PowerPress Podcast. And so what is, I didn't read the, I don't have that up, but it's six or something.
Yeah, it's six ways to take a podcast break for the summer without losing your audience.
Ah, yes.
So I brought this up a 2 weeks ago, because I was thinking about Memorial Day and I was thinking about how we didn't have to go to work on Monday and how that is kind of like the beginning of summer. I consider Memorial Day like the beginning of summer.
Right.
And I know that people take breaks and I don't see a huge issue with it if it's done, I don't know, properly or correctly or with a gentle touch, I guess. I don't know. But it sparked a big debate with everyone here at Blueberry.
Yeah, and I was on one side and others were not.
I don't even know if we ended up on the same side.
Oh, probably not. But I put my podcast pretty much on vacation for the summer. And I'm doing it a little bit differently than some. Some people just say, hey, I'm out of here. I'll see you in the fall.
Right.
What I'm doing is I'm blogging more at my site, you know, just, you know, putting out news about podcasting and, you know, whatever other topics that come up. And I'm going to do, you know, episodes as well. But see, my problem is my episodes were scheduled to come out every, I think it was Friday. See, that's the problem. I started to lose track of that. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm taking a break from the schedule.
Yeah.
More so than just taking a break. I'm taking a break from the schedule. So my show is going to come out when I want to put one out. Not on a schedule, at least for the summer. I'll get back on the schedule in the winter, you know, because, you know, as others have said, and as that article said, you know, people build themselves, you know, build you into their schedule.
Right. That was what Todd said.
Yeah. He and said, he's, you know, totally I've right.
Been doing this for 11 years. People know when my show is going to come out. Like someone out there always listens to his show while they're eating dinner. And if he took a break for the entire summer, that would affect their lives and possibly if they would listen to the show after he comes back.
Yeah. And I understand that. I've never been one to be that rigid on schedule. So it's probably not going to affect mine that much. But yeah, somebody like Todd, or, and you know, there's lots of them out there that, you know, every whatever day a show comes out, and that's probably the better way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some people need a break, and, you know, especially, you know, the summertime, everything gets busy, you know, around here, you know, we're buried in snow for, you know, 5 months of the year. So we got to make, you know, we got to make hay while the sun shines, you
right,
know,
you
so
gotta.
They say, and, you know, I can't be outside doing what I need to do if I'm in here, you know, writing show notes or recording a podcast. But, you know, they're, in my case, you know, we get a rainy day or something and I got something to say, I'm going to turn on the mic and say it and just put it out, rather than, you know, being held to a rigid schedule and putting out a crappy show. Because that's what happens with me. When I get busy, my shows get crappy because
right.
I don't prepare for them as that's much as I do when I have time.
That's a very good point. I remember talking to someone about that long time ago, like before Christmas, because I think we were all talking about taking a break for, you know, the winter holiday, because people are busy with Thanksgiving and then people are busy with Christmas and then New Year's Eve. And they were like, well, can we just take a break? I think I was talking about this with people at at the podcast meetup that we have here in Columbus. And he said, you know, it's okay if you do that, if you're just going to put out crappy episodes.
True. And, you know, on the other side of that argument is, you know, everybody's off work more and mm-hmm. Traveling and all that. So it's actually prime time to put out podcasts because people are going to use more podcasts. So they might go looking for new shows because they ran out of their regular ones.
Exactly. It's kind of, it's a little bit of win-win and a little bit of lose-lose, because as a independent podcaster, you're thinking about, you know, my life, I need to catch up on my own life. And then if you think about it as if podcasting is part of your livelihood, you're like, well, no, you would never even consider it. You'd be like, no, I have to keep my audience. I have to, you know, stay on schedule. I have to do all this. Like, I can't just take this out. So I guess it just depends on your audience style. And Todd pointed out something good too, is that, you know, he's been doing a podcast for over 10 years and I have been doing a podcast for a year. Like I'm on episode 20.
Yep.
I can't just disappear, or otherwise the audience will disappear. I don't have that back catalog. I don't have that reputation.
Right.
Pod fade real quick.
Yeah. And I've heard of people doing reruns, but that doesn't work for certain shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could probably repurpose some of my, you know, early episodes, clean them up and put them out as
right.
new episodes, and it would work because I do evergreen content
mm-hmm.
for the most part. You know, I do some news, but for the most part, it's, you know, how to do this, how to do that, and that doesn't change significantly over time, at least not that much. And, you know, I could probably get away with it, but somebody like Todd, that his whole show is news.
Exactly.
You know, this show's no good 3 days later.
You know, I've thought about that too for this. I was like thinking about it in terms of the PowerPress podcast, and I was like, well, half of the show is relevant news. That's why I don't bulk record. Like, I can't, because I have to wait, you know, within seven, I try to do less than 7 days for content.
Yes. And, you know, and that's the drawback of different types of podcasts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it depends on your podcast. You could run reruns.
Yeah.
If you have a podcast that lends itself to that type of thing.
Right.
But, you know, something that's topical and timely isn't really that good. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, something, say you did record ahead on this show, you know, a couple of episodes. Now, you mm-hmm. can record the interview part and do the news separate.
That's, see, there is always that. I did think about that. Like, I could possibly rerun the interview part.
Yeah, or do the interviews ahead
mm-hmm.
and then just, you know, add the news later. So that's an idea. And, you know, it's okay to mix up your format. You know, if the format you're using isn't working the way you want to, change it up.
Well, now that you say that, okay, I'm realizing that we've been talking about, because there's a list of six, and we've mainly been talking about number one, which is consider your podcast age and following. There are five other things
sure.
on this list, and one of them is change up your format.
Yeah, and yeah, that's one of the things, you know, if you're, like, that's kind of what I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
is my format is going to change, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to, you know, if something big happens in the podcasting world that I want to talk about, I'm going to, you know, turn on the mic, record an episode, and put it out.
Yeah.
But that's not what my podcast is most of the time. You know, I do podcast help desk, for those that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, pretty much a how-to techie geeky, you know, podcast. It's, you know, for people that want to, you know, get into the tech. But I also cover some news. And so that's probably what most of the episodes over the summer are going to be, is, you know, either interviews that I've been trying to get out, or, you know, or something like that that's not necessarily topical, you know.
Right.
You know, so it's either going to be, you know, topical news or something that I really just have to talk about. Because, you know, if iTunes decides they're going to quit podcasting in iTunes, you know, yes, we're going to need to talk about that.
Yeah, that would... You know, probably bring you out of the weeds.
Yeah, not to say that's going to happen, so don't worry. But it could happen. Or, you know, say, you know, some big podcast company out there that's sort of half into podcasting decides to quit it. That's going to be big news.
Yeah.
When it happens.
So
I'll just leave that there.
So Todd also mentioned that you can take your podcast on the road. And he said that's partially how he changes up his format, because, you know, he usually does video, and he says when he's on the road, which he is a lot, that he'll just bring a little, you know, a little pack that he has for podcasting and just do audio and not do it as much and just do the audio, not even worry about the video.
Right. And, you know, and same thing with, you know, I've got this big PR40 and I've got a compressor and I got, you know, the whole studio set up pretty much the same as what you got down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to carry this with me when I'm on summer vacation.
No.
You know, I've got a little Roland recorder and a mic I can plug into it. Yeah. It's not going to sound like I'm sitting in the studio, but it's going to be something.
That's also great for, you know, like conferences. If you want to go and record an episode at a conference and say that, you know, not only am I like off for the summer, but I have this special episode and you have the ability to record at the conference, like that's going to get that people are going to be interested in that.
Sure. You know, and I plan on doing a little bit of that at Podcast Movement.
Yeah.
This year. And I've got my, you know, portable setup with a couple of mics and all that. And, you know, I can walk around and, you know, hand a mic to somebody and talk to them for 5 minutes and, you know, that'd be a neat episode, but it's not going to sound like my normal episode.
No, it's not. See, I've been thinking about that too, because I was looking ahead at the bi-weekly schedule that I have, and I can't remember if it's the Friday that we were at Podcast Movement or the Friday before that that I'm supposed to release an episode. But I know I'm going to end up recording something at Podcast Movement.
Yeah, well, we should do a special episode there.
Yeah.
You know, from the booth.
Yeah.
You know, get people walking by. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so there's a lot of options, you know, if you want to take a break from your normal routine, there's definitely options that don't leave your audience totally high and dry.
Yes. Okay. So we've talked about three of these, and the other three are keep your break short and your schedules consistent. Give listeners plenty of advance notice and keep communicating with your audience. So let your audience know what you're going to do. Don't just leave them high and dry. That's stupid.
Yep. And like I said, I let them know that, you know, in my case, I let them know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my breaks, who knows how long it's going to be. I told them sometime in the fall, I'll get back to a schedule.
Yep.
But otherwise it's going to be, you know, when I put an episode out, it's going to be ready. It's going to be a decent episode, not just something I threw together because it's Monday.
You know, I've heard of people saying that they'll release an episode that is 2, 3, 5 minutes long, saying, you know, this is what's going on in my life. This is what's going on in, you know, whatever niche podcast that they have, whatever that category is, and then say, you know, sorry, I'm not coming out with a new episode, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. Yeah. Just so people, you know, don't forget about your show entirely. They see a new episode come out and then they go to listen to it and they, you know, they don't forget about it for 4 weeks straight.
Sure, sure.
Even if it's just a little reminder.
But one tip I have for people is don't apologize.
Well, yeah.
Just tell them what's going on. Oh, no, it's, you know, that's what the first instinct is to, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't put an effort. No, don't be sorry. Hey, you know, just say, I'm back.
Exactly.
Or, hey, you know, next new episode's coming out in a month, but here's what's going on right now.
Say, hey, I'm super excited to be with you guys for a couple minutes, and I'll be back with you for a half hour in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
As simple as that.
But, you know, keep it upbeat. Don't apologize.
That's a good point in all of this. Don't make it seem like you have that, even if your life is, you know, terrible right now, and that's why you need to take a break, and that's a legitimate reason to take a break.
Sure. You know, and if that's relevant.
Don't tell people constantly that your life is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, but if it's relevant to your audience, you know, and they know you, you say, you know, hey, I'm going through some rough times here, but, you know, I'll be back, and here's what's going on, and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
So, you know, it just, but it depends on your audience. You know, if you're doing a show about aviation and mm-hmm. you haven't podcasted because you just crashed an airplane, walked away from it, yeah, you might
totally
not want to talk about
that. People
are
interested in that, though.
Oh, they'll be totally interested, but probably not, you know, something you want to dwell on.
That's the thing. Like, yes, please inform your audience. If something unexpected happens, like inform them if you know that you're going to take this break, and essentially just don't be a Debbie Downer about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because people don't want to listen to tales of woe. I mean, look at Facebook.
Yeah.
There's people.
If I want to be upset, I'll go look at Facebook.
Yeah, because you look at Facebook and, you know, you get all the people that have the perfect lives uh-huh. on Facebook, and you got uh-huh. the ones that have the totally imperfect life on Facebook, and there's hardly anybody in between.
I know. I feel like the in-between people just kind of lurk on Facebook, and then they feel better about their lives or feel really bad about their lives, and then they walk away from Facebook.
Right. But let's not compare podcasting to Facebook. Ugh.
No, that's an entirely different conversation I don't even want to be a part of. So.
All right.
Okay. We hit all six of them.
Good.
And I think before this article came out, my input was, as long as you keep up with your blog, for the most part, at least, you know, even just a little bit, that you will most likely be okay.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, like I said, what I'm doing precisely is, you know, I'm going to make sure that I throw out a blog post at least once a week. And,
right.
And you know, if it's nothing more than, hey, I'm still here, you know,
right, kind of thing. You're alive.
Yep.
And people would like to know if you're alive so that they can know when to expect something. So that's good.
All right. Well, heck, we've been yakking here for what, 40 minutes or so?
I think so.
Yeah, cool.
So,
well, more than that.
Yeah.
We're sure going to edit, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll edit it down. I'm sure I'll take out some of my not so... how do I want to say it? Public comments that I should probably have out there.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Let it fly.
I know. Todd's always a big fan of that, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do very little editing myself.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and each to their own. There's people out there that edit everything. You know, in fact, I know podcasters that write their entire podcast out before they read it into the mic.
See, the only reason I really write things out is because I'm talking about the news and I don't want to screw it up.
Right. But, you know, you don't, I mean, I have scripted pieces and mm-hmm. then I have non-scripted pieces, and I'm getting better at reading, you know, on the mic, which
yeah.
that's a skill. I mean,
that really is, especially like your mouth placement.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just, you know, I don't understand, you know, these reporters, even on the local news, you know, they're reading off a teleprompter. You could, you know, you could put anything up on the teleprompter and they just read it.
That's true.
And they sound like they're not reading, you know, whereas I try to read something, I, you know, get the most from your interviews, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not quite that bad, but it does happen.
I know. I've felt that way too before, where I just kind of leave a nice big pause and because I can't read my own handwriting.
Yeah. That's why I type. I can't spell either, as you know.
You're better than some.
Maybe.
You're not, I wouldn't say that you're a bad speller.
Thanks.
You're just not always an accurate speller.
Yeah.
You realize it and then you correct it.
Yep. Well, sometimes I type faster than my fingers can actually type.
That is Angelo's issue, 100%. He has something to say and he gets it out and then no one can understand what it is.
Yeah, and he writes code.
He does. He does write code.
Oh, well, we shouldn't pick on him. He's not listening.
No, he's not. And he left the office, so.
Oh, okay.
So now we're really picking on him behind his back. Yeah. All right. Okay, well, we have one last thing to talk about.
All right.
And it is from the podcast host with Colin Gray. He did not write this article, but it's, you know, on there, on that website.
Yeah, Robert Cudmore.
Yes, called Get the Most from Your Interviews. So I figured it would be good to be talking about this because I don't really feel the need to interview you considering I talk to you every day.
True, true. And you know, that's key of, with interviews is make them a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I don't know what he wrote. I actually didn't read it. So
he said it can be, you know, conversation or very formal, and that you should do your research on said person to see if you should have it be conversational or formal. So I think that's a good thing to think about because I never really thought about that. Like I try to keep it, you know, kind of casual.
True.
And I've never really thought about the other person's style. I don't necessarily know their style all the time.
Yeah, I do some research on people that I don't know, but for the most part, I interview people that I know. And so in my case, a conversation makes more sense. But yeah, if you're doing, you know, some, you know, bigwig in your chosen topic and you don't know them very well, then, you know, do some research on them and maybe a more formal interview style would be appropriate.
Right. But. So he had some stuff to say for prep. And he said, you know, who are they? Find out what is relevant about them for your podcast, such as have they even done an interview before?
Right. Yeah, there's people that never have. You know?
That's a good start.
I was just going to say one of the big things that I have trouble with, but I've been getting better at in interviews,
mm-hmm.
is stop talking about yourself. Because you're there to interview the person.
Yes.
You know, your audience knows you, or you could say what you want when you're done with the interview. But, you know, talking about yourself in an interview, if you're not the subject of the interview, you know, I mean, yeah, little anecdotes here and there, whatever, that's fine. But, you know, trying to dominate a conversation with your interviewee is not going to A, be good for your audience because you're not going to learn anything about the person.
No.
And second, you know, you may not get very many interviews after people hear too many of those.
Yep. Yep, that is it. That is very important. Sometimes just shut up.
Yeah, I'm not good at that.
Yeah, well, you're not the host. I am technically interviewing you, I suppose, so you can talk all you want.
There you go.
I need to shut up. Okay. And the next, don't overrun. As I'm talking about shutting up, I'm just going to keep talking. Don't overrun and ask the right questions are the next two things.
Yeah. And I think what he's talking about here is, speaking of guests on a podcast, did you hear my beagle?
I do hear her. Him.
Him.
Is it Banjo?
Banjo, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's making his presence known.
Okay, well, in the article, the don't overrun point is talking about, you know, these people will talk, and sometimes you need to edit stuff out to get to the good stuff.
Right, and
so you will realize what is good and what is not.
Yeah, and one of the key things is listen. Don't ask a question and then go to the next question, and you're thinking about the next question when the person might have just answered your next question that you were going to ask in what they were saying, but you didn't hear it. Because you're looking at the next question.
That's going to be pretty embarrassing for you.
Right. And, you know, that just causes editing.
Yeah, it does. And that causes editing issues. That's embarrassing for you in the moment and just not good overall.
Right. So, yeah, definitely when you ask a question, listen to the answer, and maybe that'll bring up a follow-up question that you didn't write down if you're doing a more formal style. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those kind of interviews tend to go better, I think.
Right. It's saying that you should, you know, make clear what you want to get out of them and, if possible, control the conversation. So
right.
That way you don't have that issue.
Yeah. And you definitely, yeah, there are some interviewees that will just go on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And the next thing is ask the right questions. And that's a sense of controlling the conversation right there. Is that ask smart questions and listen to the answers of those questions. Well, to control the conversation, it's saying that you should warm them up. So basically make sure that they're relaxed.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people call that the pre-interview or,
yeah.
You know, so if you're going to interview somebody for say 15 minutes and so you get on with them, you know, 10 minutes before you actually hit record and, you know, just have a conversation with them, you know, get used to talking into the mic, get your levels set, get, mm-hmm. you know, get everything calmed down. You know, there's nothing worse than, you know, I do morning radio periodically.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had people, you know, they pop into the studio, walk up to a mic and start talking.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have any time to warm up, you know, because, you know, they were live on the air when they walked into the studio. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, in a professional radio situation, that might be okay. But the interviews tend to be better if they come into the studio, get sat down, give them a cup of coffee, you know, say, hey, how's it going? You know, da, 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 and then go on the air. You know, warming up the guest is definitely worthwhile. You know, it's
also
like,
good. It probably warms you up a little bit too.
I remember a particular interview. It was at the radio station, and it was the guy from the Humane Society came in with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the one time I was in there, you know, he comes on every week, but the one time I was in there, he came on there and it was a new guy and a new dog, of course. And you know, the host was in commercial and it was great because he, you know, could pet the dog and say hi to the person and, you know, okay, who are you, whatever, you know, and had a nice little conversation prior to going on mic. And yeah. That was a much better interview than say the walk-in
mm-hmm.
would be.
You know, so I feel like sometimes, you know, as someone who listens to podcasts that are typically interviews or as a podcast host yourself, you're going to be able to pick up on that more, but doesn't matter. It should still most likely be done.
Yeah, but definitely, yeah, to have a nice pre-show mm-hmm. or a pre-interview or, you know, some sort of conversation before, and, you know, and sometimes if you record those, you might get little sound bites to for later.
Right. That's true. I never thought about that.
You know, but let them know that you're recording. Don't, you know, say, well, okay, I'm hitting record now and you've been recording for half an hour and then you've got blackmail material for them. No, you don't want to do that, but.
Yeah, it sounds like fun, but you're right. It probably could not go well.
But say, yeah, I'm recording this just to get the setup right and all that. And
yeah,
and of course, save that recording.
See, smart things to think about.
Yeah. So I think we're probably about done here.
People, podcasters that like to leave the house, come to Podcast Movement. It is in July in beautiful Chicago. And also, we have Elite Man Conference happening at the beginning of August that is happening near the Boston area. And that is I need to get a better understanding of what this conference is, but I am very intrigued by it. It is a conference for men to get a better handle on their self-esteem, their confidence, their life, taking charge of, you know, what they want to do, following their dream, whatever it is. You're going to have a motivational speaker for it, including people talking about podcasting and the Blueberry Team materials at that conference for you. Have that happen in your life. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but it seems like it is an intriguing conference. But we are sponsoring, and you will be able to get our materials at that conference, and we would love to have you guys go. So both of those, you can save $40 using the code Blueberry for Podcast Movement when you check out. and use the code blueberry10 based on whatever ticket you would like to purchase for the Elite Man Conference, because they have different levels of pricing.
And definitely come to Podcast Movement. You'll get to meet some of the team at Blueberry. I believe Todd, our CEO, Angelo, our CIO, and me and Mackenzie will be there.
Yep.
There we go. So we'll be there, probably spend lots of time in the booth for all of us at one time or another.
Yes. And we will be having an event, a Blueberry specific event, on Wednesday the 6th in the morning. So that's basic. That's, you know, before any sessions start, anything like that. So if you are going to get to Chicago, you know, Tuesday night, then check this out. We're going to be focusing on, you know, helping get your podcast started. Very happy. Yeah. Very excited to be doing that. So, which goes into exactly what you're going to be talking about, Mike.
Yeah. And speaking of that, you knew what I was going to say.
Oh yeah.
We're doing webinars every other week. Currently, we're doing them on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Yep.
One will be, as we record this, will probably be passed by the time this is released. So yes. the following one will be on the 16th of June at 4 p.m. So just email support@blueberry.com and we'll get you an invite. But basically what I do in that seminar or webinar is I take a blank WordPress site that was just installed and I make it podcast ready and ready to go into iTunes, Google Play, and any other directory you want to put it in using using Blueberry Hosting and Blueberry PowerPress.
Yes. So someone like me who, when I started this podcast, had no idea how to really use PowerPress, this would have been awesome. That's why we're trying to get it out there for people like you that are interested in PowerPress, but possibly intimidated or just want to learn more or whatever the case.
Yep. And the one on the 16th is going to be the first one using PowerPress 7.
Oh yeah. I didn't even think about that part.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
So yeah, this one tomorrow will be, or you know, Thursday the 2nd, which is probably past.
Yep, this is going on Friday, so yes.
Yeah, so yeah, yesterday we did one. No, is that how we do it?
Yes. Anyway. Yes, I guess that's the way to do it.
Anyway, that will be the last one using PowerPress 6. Email support@blueberry.com, and we'll get you an invite to that webinar. It's free of charge, of course, and even if you can't come live, we send out a link to the video afterwards.
If you're interested, a link to that will be in the show notes for this. And, you know, just contact Mike. So we're very excited about this.
Yes. And like I said, did one a couple weeks ago and was pretty successful. And I think I got all the bugs worked out of my presentation, I hope.
Yeah. I don't know if I can, you know, technically say this, but one of the people that, you know, attended the webinar said to Mike, this has just eased my mind. I am no longer worried about setting up PowerPress and I'm excited to do it.
Yep. And so, she contacted me a little while later and said, no support questions. You covered it all in the webinar and she's up and running.
See, that is exactly what you can have. And that's what we are trying to provide. So sign up for it.
Yep. And then I think that workshop we're doing in Chicago will be similar, but probably a little more involved.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's all we have. We have rambled on enough about podcasting.
The longest episode we ever did?
I don't know. I don't actually know. Because I've had some long ones and then I've, you know, edited them down. But I don't know. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with a fresh episode.